Hello, good morning. This is Rick Pina, and I'm bringing you today's word for August 25th, 2026. Before I get into the message, I did share with you yesterday that on Sunday, Isabella and I preached a message together. We preached a message about legacy, how it's bigger than you. And I haven't shared it on my YouTube yet, so I'm going to share it today on my YouTube channel so that you guys can watch it. I believe that it will be a tremendous blessing to you if you have time to watch it. But we always run out of time before we run out of word. So Isabella still had, well, we both had a lot of things to say, but Isabella had a lot of content still to go through. So tonight, she's going to do the continuation of the matter in Bible study. So if you're in the Northern Virginia area and you want to come to Bible study tonight, what Isabella is going to teach, I believe, is going to be a tremendous blessing. Meet us at VCMI, Virginia. That's 14015 Minneville Road, 7 p.m. If you're not in this area, you can still watch. So what you could do is go to youtube.com/VCMIVA, youtube.com/VCMIVA at 7 p.m. tonight, and Isabella will teach Bible study, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a blessing. All right? So I've been teaching from the life of Jacob. I need to wrap up Jacob now. We're about to wrap up Jacob, but I do want to point out something between Jacob and Esau that's in the text, and something else that Malachi said about Jacob and Esau that is something we need to really understand. It's something we need to understand about God, about his parenting style, and about us as parents too, that we, if we love our children, then we have to correct them. If you see your child going astray and you don't say anything, then you really don't care. And so we, when we take on the heart of God, we're not punishing, it's about processing so that we can become the men and the women that God has called us to be. This is Discovering Destiny, part 34. Watch this, here's the title. God loves you too much to leave you the way he found you. Listen, God loves you just the way you are, but God loves you too much to leave you that way. If he loves you, he'll correct you. If he loves you, he will chasten you. If God loves you, he will discipline you. Let's talk about it. Let's get into the word. This is going to be good. All right, so let's get into the word for this morning. I got some foundational scriptures I need to read to you first. These are the scriptures we've been looking at all year. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Luke 10:20 from the Mirror Bible says, it's time for you to rediscover who you are from heaven's perspective. 1 John 3:10 says, there is a very visible and vast difference between living your life from God's identity and living your life from a fallen man's mindset. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, is the glory of kings to go search it out. And in Jeremiah 29:13, the Lord tells us how to search it out. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Those are the scriptures for the year. Let me give you the scriptures for today. Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3 from the New King James Version says, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The Lord says, the Bible says that God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. I'm going to explain. We're going to talk about that today. Hebrews 12, verse 6, Amplify. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes, even scourges, every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes. This is like some meat, not milk, right? I mean, like, think about what I just read. Genesis 29:30-31. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. and served with him yet another 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, there's that word again, same Hebrew word. So he loved Rachel, he hated Leah. But when the Lord saw that she was hated, he opened her womb and Rachel was still barren. Proverbs 13 and verse 24, the Bible says, "He who spares his rod hates his son." In other words, if you don't correct your children, in this case, like, you know, people mean like a whooping, right? He who spares the rod hates his son. Like, if you don't correct your children, you really don't love them. You hate them. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Like, you make him, you do something wrong. I got to let you know that you did something wrong. I'm not going to bring it up 5 days later, 10 days later. No, we need to correct it, and we need to correct it quickly so that that behavior can be corrected. And the reason why I'm correcting you is because I care and because I love you. This is how God deals with us. Deuteronomy 2 and 5. "Do not meddle with them," the Bible says, "for I will give you any other land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession." I'll explain that here in a minute. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 7. "You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were an alien in that land." But an Edomite is the nation that came out of Esau. Genesis 28 and verse 15, New Living says, "What's more, I am with you and I will protect you everywhere you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you." Watch this. This is God saying, listen, you're going to go through stuff. You're going to make all kinds of errors. You're not perfect. You will make mistakes. But you know what? I'm committed to you. I love you. And I love you so much that I say this: I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything that I promised you. This is what God said to Jacob in Bethel when he was sleeping on that rock and he had this experience of Jacob's ladder. That night, God said, "I'm not going to leave you until I've given you everything that I promised you." This doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. This doesn't mean that you're going to do everything right. No, and you're going to go through a bunch of stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to turn my back on you. Genesis 32 and 26, the Bible says, "And he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me." That's when he wrestled with the angel. Hosea 12 and 4, the Bible says, "Yes, he struggled with an angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us." In Genesis 33 and verse 9, last verse, "My brother, I have plenty," Esau answered. "Keep what you have for yourself." He was saying, listen, man, I know you're trying to give me all this stuff, but I have a lot of stuff, right? He says, oh, here's one more scripture. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. "My child, do not reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those that he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights," right? This is all in the Bible. This is all lining up with this text. So let me talk about these two brothers for a minute. I really want you to think about what's going on with Jacob and Esau. So in the story, Jacob is now, you know, he got the limp. He gets up. He goes to meet his brother. His brother runs out, gives him a kiss and all of that. As all of that happened, Esau came with 400 men. When Jacob was giving him a gift, he said, oh, I already have a lot. He still received the gift. And the Bible says that out of him came a great nation. That nation was Edom. In Edom, a bunch of kings came out of Esau, right? So the text says, Jacob, I loved. Esau, I hated. But wait a minute. If you hated Esau, then why was Esau blessed? Esau was blessed. He had 400 men. He had a big family. And a whole nation came out of him. And kings came out of him. So if you loved him, why was he so blessed? I mean, oh, if you hated him. So is that we got to like unpack this a little bit, right? When you look at the two brothers were still under the blessing of Abraham. The two brothers still got the blessing. It's just that one was blessed and somewhat left alone. And the other one was blessed and processed. One was blessed and basically left to his own devices. The other one was blessed and went through all types of experiences with his father-in-law, with the two women, with the spotted and speckled animals, with the Jacob's ladder, with the wrestling match, all of that. And then Malachi says, Jacob, I loved. Esau, I hated. So this word, the Hebrew word for hated, I had to look it up. And it's used a few times. It was actually used when the Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel and he hated Leah. Same thing. Same words were there. But the word hate here, let me make sure that I explain this right. It's Jesus used it, the same kind of context, when he said that if you're going to be my disciple, you have to hate your mother and father. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate your father and mother. Actually, he said it. He said it that way, your father and mother. So this is covenant language. It's not hate like the way we use hate, but basically saying that if you are going to come after me, then you cannot place your father or your mother above me. You have to prioritize me. So the love-hate here saying that this is the priority. Proverbs 13 and 24 uses the same words that Malachi uses, this love and hate. And in Proverbs, Solomon uses it when he talks about a parent who corrects his son. The Bible says the parent who withholds correction from his son hates his son. But the parent who loves his son disciplines his son. So the hate here is that, in other words, if I have children and I have one that I'm not correcting, I'm prioritizing others, then I love the one that I'm prioritizing and I'm really involved in their life and I'm pointing out what's wrong. And if I leave one to his own devices, it's not that I hate like the world calls it hate, but I'm not involved. And so what kind of God do you want? I want the God that's involved in every part of my life. This is why God said to Jacob, I'm not gonna leave you until I give you everything that I promised you. Because the blessing is on you, son, I'm not gonna leave you. I'm gonna be with you everywhere you go. This doesn't mean that you're gonna do everything right. Now, there's a blessing on your whole family. Your brother is out there, he's blessed. He's gonna have a whole nation. He's gonna have kings before you have kings, right? But you're gonna give birth to 12 tribes. It's a different thing. Are you gonna do everything right? No. Are you gonna make mistakes? Yes. But guess what? I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm going to be committed to you. Philippians 1 and 6, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Let's talk about it. So what does this mean for you today? Oh my God, this is going to be good. I have four things to share with you in this morning. Let's go. Number one, Esau got blessed, but Jacob got blessed and processed. Let me say that again. Esau got blessed, but Jacob got blessed and processed. We live in a world today that people just count the blessing by the size of your house, how many cars, what kind of purse you have, what you're wearing. They're just looking for stuff. Well, guess what? Jacob and Esau both had stuff, but one of them had a God that was working on him, right? And so they both had things, they both had stuff. You can make the argument that the external blessing was the same, but God's involvement in the life of Jacob was different. This involvement required a promise and a process. See, God's love is not measured just by all the stuff that you have. It's measured by how involved he is in your life and how involved you allow him to be in your life. And we serve a God that when he loves us, he refuses to leave us alone. Come on now. I'm talking about God loves us so much that he refuses to leave us alone. Proverbs 13 and 24 says the whole thing with love and hate, corrects it right there, talking about parenting. If you have a child and you withhold correction, you hate them. It's not that you hate them like the world calls it hate, but you're not prioritizing that child. If you prioritize that child, you will correct that child. You will see that there's something wrong and you will provide the correction. Why? Because you love them. If you leave them alone, the Bible calls it hate. Not hate like we call hate, but it's a type of like, okay, I don't even care. But we serve a God who cares. See, some of the most blessed people, material blessing, worldly blessing, people say, oh, this person is blessed. They have this, you know, they have a private jet. They have all this kind of stuff. They're blessed. No. But if God is not involved in their life, a lot of those people are lost. And unfortunately, a lot of them realize that they have all this stuff, but they don't have God, and they wind up committing suicide. God gave Esau Mount Seir. A whole nation came out of him. Edom came out. Oh, kings came out of Esau. Like I said, Esau got kings well before Jacob, but then Jacob got the blessing and the 12 tribes came out of him. Esau had herds, Jacob had herds, but Jacob also had Jacob's ladder. Jacob also had experiences with his father-in-law. Jacob also had, you changed my wages 10 times in 20 years. Jacob also had spotted, speckled, and black sheep. Jacob also had a wrestling with an angel. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Esau didn't have none of that. But Jacob had somebody, a God that was committed to him that would not leave him alone. The scariest thing God can do is leave you alone. If God is not correcting you, if you don't have any type of correction from God, or watch this, if your parents, you're a young adult and your parents don't even call you, that's dangerous, right? That's dangerous, right? Because now you're in a situation where obviously their involvement is an expression of their love. If you're in covenant with God, then God, watch this, his involvement is in your life is an expression of the love that he has for you. Jacob was coming home with more stuff than he ever imagined, but more importantly, he was coming home with divine character, with godly character. You're not just somebody that God provides for. Oh, God gives you stuff. No, you are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God, and God is committed to developing you. Provision is for everybody, but development is a commitment that is connected to your family. So when God corrects you, it's because you're part of his family. Say amen to that. All right, number two. God corrects the ones that he loves. Hebrews 12 and 6, Amplified, says, "For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves." Proverbs 3 and 12, once again, "Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." Revelations 3 and 19 says, "As many as I love," you know what? "I rebuke and I chasten." If I love you, the Bible says, I will rebuke you. I will correct you. Correction is not the opposite of love. Correction is the evidence of love. Put that in the chat. Correction is the evidence of love. If God is correcting you, that is not rejection. That means that you belong to him. Say, I belong to him. I attempt to correct my own children. If I see my children doing something wrong, I correct my own children. I don't correct my neighbor's children because correction is a family matter. Did you catch that? I could see my child and the neighbor's child doing the same thing. I'm not going to correct the neighbor's child. I don't even know them like that. I'm going to correct my child because he's part of my family. God corrects us because he loves us. Let me say it this way. If God never checks you, if you never get a check in your spirit, if you're never convicted of righteousness, then don't call that freedom. That's actually a dangerous place to be. If you say, well, God never talks to me, God never corrects me, I'm just out here doing my on my own. That's not freedom. That's a dangerous place to be. Every son that God loves, he corrects. And if you are a son, if you are a daughter, you should expect correction from God and you should welcome it. Hebrews 12 and 6, Amplify once again, in the same sentence, the writer of Hebrews puts correction and cherishing, same sentence. If I cherish you, I will correct you. If I don't cherish you, go ahead. I'll just leave you alone. Correction from God is saying, listen, I'm not going to let you go. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never turn my back on you. A parent who corrected you was a parent who was paying attention. And the father is always paying attention. My mother, growing up in Brooklyn, she corrected me. And the reason why she corrected me is because she loved me. And so when you have people, and God can use other people too, you can get godly correction from the Holy Spirit, but you can also get godly correction from other people. So when you get godly correction, whether that comes from God directly or from other people, from your parents, from people who love us, whatever, then you should welcome it, because you will never maximize your purpose and potential in this world without godly correction. Say amen to that. The Bible says, all we like sheep go astray. How do sheep go astray? Little by little, people drift. That's why you need course corrections. The Holy Spirit has to correct you. Parents have to correct us. Friends have to correct us. Say amen to that. All right, number three. Grace trains. Religion punishes. Now, this is where I need to separate the love of God, the new covenant, the grace of God, the covenant of grace, New Testament, and then the Old Testament. The Old Covenant was about punishment. They stoned people to death. They whipped people. They did all kind of crazy stuff under the Old Testament. So the Old Testament, religious people, they bring a lot of punishment. But under grace, there's a lot of training. Titus 2, 11 and 12 from the Passion Translation says, grace has trained us. As a born-again believer, as a spirit-filled believer, the Holy Spirit will train us. He's training us. When we correct our children, we should be training them. Grace is about training. Jesus took your punishment. He took it on the cross. So now what is it? What's left? Our training. So it's not about punishment. It's about processing. The writer of, or the Hebrew word for Proverbs 3 and 12, when you look at this, whom he loves, he corrects. There's no whip in that, right? This is not like, I'm not whipping you. I'm correcting you because I love you. It is a training that comes under grace. Under grace, new covenant, the Holy Spirit corrects us with his word, with his instruction. He sends other people. Sometimes he corrects us by closing a door, right? Sometimes, and when God closes the door, that's not punishment. That's processing. That is a father who loves you so much that he saw that you were about to make a mistake and he closed that door. That he's not punishing you. He's processing you because he's protecting you for your destiny. Now, you go through experiences. You may not like all the experiences, but looking back, you're going to recognize, realize, and acknowledge that they were necessary. Put in the chat, they were necessary. Let me say it this way, because under the new covenant is about training. So God doesn't have to hurt you to change you. Romans 2 and 4 from the New Living says that his kindness is what turns you from sin. So conviction is not condemnation. Condemnation says you're condemned, you're done. Like a building that's condemned is no longer useful, right? Conviction is not condemnation. The Satan wants you to take on condemnation. No, the Holy Spirit wants to convict you, not of sin, but convict you of righteousness. The Holy Spirit wants to say, you're better than this. You say to your children, you're better than this. I'm correcting you because I know that you're better than this. You shouldn't be doing this. Come on. You know who you are. You know that you're better than this. That's the type of training. That's the type of correction. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 11, this type of correction yields peaceable fruit, the fruit of righteousness. When you correct somebody, it might be painful in the moment, but you know what happens? At the end, it produces peaceable fruit, and it is fruit that produces righteousness. Okay, I have a son that's in sports right now. He plays soccer. If the coach is correcting him, if I see that the coach is on him in the middle of a game or on him in the practice, hey, Ethan, no, do it this way. Hey, Ethan, no, do it this way. And I see that he's not talking to he's talking to Ethan, maybe two other kids, and he's not talking as much to the other kids. Then you could say, a parent of the other ones could say, oh, wow, that's great. The coach is not saying anything to my son. You know what the Bible is teaching us here? No, that's not good. That's not good. The fact that he is correcting my son means that he sees potential in my son. The fact that he's correcting my son means that he sees the finished version of my son, and he's not going to let my son operate below the level and the standard that he sees. So he's investing the time because he sees something greater. Say amen to that. God is correcting us because he loves us. Number four, so I can let you go. Man, this is good. He started it. Jacob sought it. And God finished it. So he started it, meaning Jacob was part of the process. So in this last point, let me just say this about Jacob. At least Jacob wanted it. When he saw Jacob's ladder, Jacob was pursuing God. Jacob didn't just sit down. I mean, he pursued God in the process. Did he do everything right? Absolutely not. But every time he had an encounter with God, when God said to him at Bethel, hey, I'm never going to leave you, Jacob made a vow. At Mahanaim, when he saw the angels, he knew that God was with him. At the Jabbok River, when he had this encounter with God, he said, I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies. When he was wrestling with the angel, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. What am I saying? Jacob had a heart for God. See, God didn't just save you to leave you alone. He saved you to finish what he started in your life. Once God shows you his destiny, you know what Ecclesiastes 3, this is not in my notes. When God takes something from the future and puts it in your heart and in your mind, it becomes a divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. You will never be satisfied until you become that person, but you will never become that person. You will never become the person that God revealed without processing, right? You must have a heart and a desire for God, and you have to refuse to let go. See, some people, when the going gets tough, some people, when the processing is coming, some people, when they're going through correction, a correction phase, they want to give up, cave in, and quit. Galatians 6 and 9 says, be not weary in doing what is right. For in due season, you shall reap a harvest. Watch this. Paul says, if you do not give up, what happens if you give up? You're going to get to heaven and realize that there were some things that you were supposed to do that you did not do because you gave up, because you could not endure the processing that was required to get you to the point where you could carry the weight of the anointing associated with the assignment. Listen, God took a conniver, a trickster, and after 20 years of processing, he was ready to be the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Esau had a nation. Esau had a nation of kings before him, but the heavier assignment was on Jacob. So because there was a heavy assignment, there was a heavy level of processing. If the assignment is great, if the assignment is heavy, then the period of preparation is also going to be heavy. Why? Because God is preparing the container. God is preparing you for what he prepared for you. God is also preparing other people to receive you. And that processing is required. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Say amen to that. I covered a lot today. I covered a lot of ground today. Let's close this message out with a declaration of faith. Say this. Say, Father, I thank you that you love me too much to leave me the way that you found me. I'm not just blessed. I am blessed and processed. Your correction is not my rejection. It's actually proof that I belong. It's not punishment, it's processing. And you are preparing me for my destiny. Jesus took my punishment. I don't need punishment. But what you give me now is training. So I declare what Jacob said. I will not let you go until you bless me. You will not leave me, and I'm not going to leave you. I declare that greater is coming for me. And in this year, I will be processed to the point where I can carry the weight of the anointing associated with the assignment. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is today's word. Tomorrow, I have a different one. Please apply it and prosper. If you're not getting these messages, go to todaysword.org. Click on the big red subscribe button. You're going to get all my notes in your email inbox every day for free. Listen, I need you to do three things real quick. Number one, leave me some comments in the chat if this message was a blessing to you. I like to read those comments. Number two, share this message right now on your social media, on your timeline, and with your friends. And number three, listen to this outro video. There is some information in here for you. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Thank you for watching the Grace Life Podcast. There's a few things that I want to make you aware of. First of all, if you would like to support our ministry and especially support what we're doing in the Dominican Republic, where we have over 235 children in a school getting a Christ-based education free of charge, we're paying for everything. Our ministry does that out of the love of God and all of our partners that are supporting it. You can go to ripministries.org and make a donation, and all your donations are tax deductible in the United States. Also, I have some books that are available to you in audio form and also in paperback or hardcover. So go to amazon.com and just search for Rick Pina, or you can go to rickpina.co. And when you go there, you'll be able to see the links. You can get a book that I wrote called Level Up Your Life, where you can level up your life in five areas of your life. There's a devotional guide that will lead you to experience grace-based success. And if you want assistance with declaring the word of God over your family and your finances and your health and your career, you should get 150 affirmations for men or 150 affirmations for women. And we have lots of other books and journals and other content that can be a blessing to you. People ask me all the time, hey, Rick, how do I get a t-shirt or a hoodie or a coffee mug or some of those things that I see you wear? Well, you can go to thegracelife.store. We've partnered with a brand new store. The quality of the materials are a lot better. Please go to thegracelife.store and you can get all of our products there. Not only that, but at the top of thegracelife.store, there's a link to books. And when you click on books, it'll take you right to all of our products on Amazon as well. Finally, listen, people have been coming to Isabella and I for mentorship for many, many years. And the Lord led me a few years ago to take some of the content that we've been mentoring others with. And instead of just saying it over the phone or on a video call, we've been recording this content and publishing it. We have well over 1,000 videos at this point. And a lot of the videos have a PDF handout that goes along with them. So we publish all of this content on our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. There's different ways to join. At the lowest level, you have access to all the content. At another level, if you want to have one-on-one sessions with Isabella and I, you can do that too. So if you would like to be mentored by us, please go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we pray that we will continue to be a blessing to you.